We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
I sat there so you'd see me.
I saw you.
Okay.
I was hoping.
We thought we were going to be 3 minutes late.
He was playing your song.
I thought so too. I would love to hear the Grinch song. But not now. In 2004, something happened that literally changed the world. This group of Harvard students got together and they developed a website. And the website was originally developed as an opportunity for Harvard students to be connected, right? And eventually, not long after it was launched, they opened it up to Columbia and to Stanford and to Yale students so that all of them can somehow be connected. And I bet that if we were to get that group of Harvard students together 15 years ago and tell them that website, that domain that they bought, www.thefacebook.com, I bet they wouldn't believe how it did literally change the world. I mean, if I would have told them 15 years ago, you know, guys, 15 years from now, there's going to be 2.4 billion people with profiles on your website. And that 1.6 billion people will log into it every day. Go ahead, show of hands. Who has a Facebook account? Raise your hand. And those of you who don't, why? Those of you who have Facebook accounts, how many of you log in once a day? Tell the truth. How many of you spend hours watching dumb cat videos? Tell the truth. Yeah, Jill, don't tell her, she's over there. Jill watches these cat videos that are so not funny. And she cracks up. Oh, you got to watch this, and I walk out of the room. But 15 years ago, this group of Harvard students got it. And it has grown. I mean, right, the studies show that there are, get this, 5 new profiles made every second, right? So those of you who don't have Facebook, you can do it. 5 of you every second, you can make it happen. About every minute, there are 510,000 comments posted on Facebook. Every minute, there are 293,000 statuses updated. Every minute, 136,000 photos are uploaded, right? You know the little like button? That little like button is pressed 1.13 trillion with a T, which is more than Garrett Cole signed for times. But here's the one that has always fascinated me. The average user has 338 friends. Now, show of hands, who has more than 338 friends? Raise their hand. Really? There's some unpopular people here. Or you're lying. Who has more than 500? Who has more than 750? Jennifer, how many do you have? Oh, go ahead, we'll wait. How many? Oh, I bet you have more than that. I'm guessing you have close to 1,000. Well, just lie and tell me I'm right. 1,122. We're waiting. You're on my time. 772. Does anybody have over 1,000? Well, Leah does. Leah has, but I actually have more than Leah. I just want to go on record. I didn't know that until she showed me how to find it. And what amazes me about that, Jennifer, isn't the number of friends. Because I expect that people have friends. What I've always been intrigued by is, what does it mean to be a Facebook friend? I mean, what is, and how serious are we with our Facebook friends, right? Well, Burger King did an experiment a few years ago. They developed an app. This is the truth. They developed an app called the Whopper Sacrifice. And what they did is they offered you a coupon for a free Whopper if you were willing to delete 10 friends from your friend list. Now, here's the catch, right? Jennifer, are we friends on Facebook? I think so. I could delete Jennifer right now and she would never know. But if it was the Whopper Sacrifice, Burger King would send Jennifer a note, a memo, a message that said, Marty Vershell has deleted you and he gets a free Whopper. Right? So show of hands, how many of you would delete a friend for a free Whopper? Or maybe yours is a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Or maybe you're a Popeye chicken sandwich, which is a better sandwich than Chick-fil-A. Right? Right? Okay, now, here's what I want to do. The app was online for about 2 weeks, give or take, depending which study you look at. I want you to stand up and greet one another. When you do that, I want you to share with each other how many people actually deleted 10 friends. Go ahead, stand up. Greet one another. Okay, go ahead, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. Okay, so what was the guessing? How many? 10 million. That's a little high. 233,906 people deleted 10 friends for a Whopper. What kind of friends are we, right? Now, I got to be honest, I don't know anything about Mark Zuckerberg other than that he's filthy rich, right? I don't know whether he believes in God. I don't know what his faith stance is. I know none of that. But I do know this. I know that Zuckerberg gets it. He understands what is central to my theology. You see, what I believe, what he believes, is that we are wired to be connected. We are created to be in some sort of community, even if it's within Facebook. That's how we were made. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is open up Book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1, it begins like this, in case you don't know it. In the beginning, God. That's how it starts. And I have told you on more than one occasion that I believe those are the most controversial words ever written. Because until the Genesis writer wrote those words, the idea of one God, and especially of one God who was intimately involved with creation, was mind-blowing. Because that's not what they bought into. And here the Genesis writer says, in the beginning, a single God spoke and created. Then he goes through this creation poem, and it is a beautiful poem. If you ever read it, if you ever hear it read in Hebrew, it is amazing. And the problem we have is we get in these long debates over nothing. Was a day 24 hours, or was it 24 million years? What? That's not the purpose of the writing. The Hebrew writer wrote this poem to talk about this amazing God and this special relationship that we have with him, which was unheard of. And if you remember the story, at the end of each day, God looked down upon what he created, and he said, this is... Let's try that again. At the end of each day, he looked down upon what he created. He said, this is good. Except on the sixth day, because on that day he created Adam, which simply means human, which means man. He created Adam. And on that day, he looked down upon what he created and said, now this ain't just good. This is... And he was happy. And then he rested. And if you read the Genesis story, you get this idea that everything was just dandy, was great, was groovy, was cool, was neato, whatever word you want to use. And you get that until Genesis 2:18, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Because in that, God looks down, and he says for the first time that something was not good. Do you remember what it was? He saw that Adam was alone, and he said, that's not good. And the reason why that's not good is because that's why we were created, to be with others, to be in connection, to be in community. God did not create us because he was bored. God did not create us because he was lonely. God did not create us because he wanted puppets. God created us so that we could experience this community, this connection that he was experiencing in the Trinity. And that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day, but that's why we are wired like we are. That's why 2.4 billion people are on Facebook. That's why 1.6 billion sign in every day, because we yearn for connection. And what I learned last week over at Open Skies, because of some precious little girl, that we're not the only ones created to be connected. You see, she told me about there's another cartoon, there's another animation, The Grinch. I was corrected twice in Open Skies. Once, I was told that I had the whole story named wrong, because the original is not The Grinch. The original is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And then it's not really a sequel. It's more like a parallel. It's another version, and it's just called The Grinch. And in The Grinch, we don't have to guess why The Grinch became The Grinch. Because in The Grinch, we learn that The Grinch was actually a who. And at one time, lived in Whoville. Watch this.
That lost, lonely boy, isolated, sad, with no home of his own, no mom, no dad. And as the Grinch looked around, he felt downright scared. As he remembered that Christmas where nobody cared. Where nobody showed, not even a flea. And there were no cards, no gifts, and no tree. And as he watched other kids, one thing became clear. That this was the single worst day of the year.
The Grinch became the Grinch because he was alone, wasn't connected, wasn't part of a community, and so his heart was two times too small. If you've ever been alone, especially during the Christmas season, I don't have to tell you how that feels. I don't have to tell you that it is easy for the Grinch of loneliness to steal Christmas joy. You know, for some, Christmas is a time of celebration. There's laughter. There's kids and grandkids underneath the roof. There's presents. There's meals. There's decorations. There's all of that, right? And we are told that we're supposed to be joyful. We even sing joy to the world. But there are people who Christmas is not that. And for some, it's a loss of a loved one, and you know, death or divorce, and it could be last year, it could be 5 years, it could be 10, it doesn't matter. There's this sadness, this loneliness, this emptiness. For others, it's knowing that this may be the last Christmas you spend with your loved one because they have a illness, a sickness, and you know they're not going to survive another year. And there's that empty chair, and there's the one less stocking on the mantle. If you know that, I don't have to tell you how much that hurts. I was preparing for this, and I wasn't really sure how I was going to make this all work. And I read this article, and the article was called something like "Doctors Must Treat the Epidemic of Loneliness." And in this article, the author says that 50% of Americans either regularly or always feel alone or left out. Now, this guy, and I don't know where he gets this from because he started speaking in language that was Greek to me, Hebrew, something. He said that it's a medical issue. I've heard some people say it's emotional issues. I've heard preachers from the pulpit say it's a spiritual issue, which makes me just want to scream. There is nothing wrong with you spiritually if you are lonely, if you feel alone. There's nothing wrong with you spiritually if on Christmas you don't feel the joy. It is just hard. Grief is hard, and it can steal everything from you. Which is why today at 2 o'clock, Barbara's doing this service. It's not called The Longest Night. I forget what it's called. Cold Winter Days, when it's 82 degrees, but it's cold. We were hoping on the cold front when we named it. But it's for people who don't feel joyous. For people who are tired of everyone saying, you should be happy. Loneliness, isolation, grief steals from us. Now, I know what I'm supposed to do here. And you know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to remind you that as a Jesus follower, you are never alone, right? I'm supposed to tell you that the whole message of Christmas is that what Matthew said, that God is, that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. I'm supposed to tell you that the reason why the angels came to the shepherd and said, I have good news of a great joy, is because you're not alone, because God is with you. And I believe that with every ounce of my being, with every fiber in my body, I believe that God is with me. I know that at some level, God is in the midst of life. He's with us when we laugh. He lifts us when we're in joy. And I also know He is with me when we are crying and when we are lonely. That's the message, and I get it. But if you've been in the Christmas season alone, if you've woken up on Christmas morning to an empty house, I don't know about you, but I gotta have something more. I mean, I can remind myself all day long that God is with me, God is with me, God is, and I believe it, but I need some flesh. I need some skin, some bone. Someone can hug me and tell me it's gonna be okay. Someone to laugh with, someone to talk to, someone just to sit with. And I am thankful God has given us the gift of Himself. And I will never minimize that. But you see, what gets me through the loneliness sometimes isn't just that God has given us the gift of Himself. God has given us the gift of us. You don't have to be alone because we have one another. He has given us the gift of each other to overcome loneliness in our lives. And I'm not talking about some Facebook friend who would delete you for a Whopper. I've been here 6 years now. 6 years, 15 days, 26 hours, whatever. Who's counting? And if you've learned nothing else, you know that central to my theology is this understanding of what the church is. The church is not about the preaching, thank God. It's not about the music, as wonderful as it is. The church begins and ends in community and connection. I mean, that's why we come here. And that's why I believe the church is truly the hope of the world. Because of that. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stand up. You don't need to talk. Just stand up. Stand up. Seriously. Not joking. Stand. I want you to look. I want you to look around the room. I want you to look at the people on your left and the people on your right. The people who are behind you. The people who are in front of you. Right? Okay. Now get this. No matter what you think of them. Right? They are the gift that God has given you. Right? Now, some of you may want to return it, but you just can't. They are the gift that God has given you and to me who helps us in our loneliness. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these people. Go ahead and have a seat. Now, if you watch the Netflix The Grinch, what you're going to see is you're going to see the reason why the heart of the Grinch is transformed. You know, in the book, in the Dr. Seuss book that I grew up with, it's transformed because he hears the Who's singing and they're still having celebration because it's Christmas, even though they don't have trees, decorations, meals, all that stuff. But that's not the secret. What I learned last week, thanks to just a wonderful young lady over at that service, what I learned last week is what transformed the heart of that Grinch was a loving kindness of a little girl, Cindy Lou Who. And if you watch that show, you will know that Cindy Lou showed up, she encouraged, and she invited, and she loved. And when the Grinch realized that even someone like him was lovable, that's when his heart grew three sizes that day. It was because of Cindy Lou Who. And all she did was show up. Do me a favor, I want you to stand up again. Why has every service laughed about that? You're getting your exercise. I want you to look to the left, look to the right, look behind you, look in front of you. I want you to see all these people. Now get this. Are you ready? You are the gift that God has given them. You are the answer for their loneliness. You are their Cindy Lou Who. Go ahead and have a seat. I mean, that's it. You and I, listen, you and I are someone's Cindy Lou Who, because there is someone in this room today. There is someone in the church. There is someone in the neighborhood. There is someone at school. There is someone at work. There is someone in the community. You know who they are, and you are the answer. You are the gift God's given them. You are the gift God has placed in their life so that you can show up, so that you can invite, so that you can love. You are their answer to loneliness. Like Cindy Lou Who, we are called to extend grace and love and hope. Now, Joe and I talked about this last night, and I forgot to tell the 8 o'clock, and we'll send it out. Jill and I used to have a tradition when we lived in Sugar Land, Missouri City. I don't know what happened. Now that we live right near the place, we never go. There's this restaurant called Katz's. Katz's never closes. It's on Westheimer. Long story about why that restaurant's so important to me and Jill, and that's another story. But our tradition used to be every Christmas morning we would drive into Houston and we would have breakfast at Katz's. And we would do so before it got super crowded. And if we saw anyone sitting alone, we would always invite them to join us. So we were talking last night, and we thought this would be kind of fun. We'll see what happens. So on Christmas morning at 9, we compromised, 9:15. We started at 9, and I don't want to wake up quite that early, 9:15. And that's before Katz's gets crazy. Jill and I are going to be at Katz's. If you're alone, if you're wondering about the joy of Christmas, if you're not alone, you just want to come eat Katz's, you know, because you want good Jewish food, we want to be your Cindy Lou Who. We want to invite you to have breakfast with us. Christmas morning, 9:15-ish, Katz's on Westheimer. You see, because I believe that we experience Christmas when we reach out to God, because God is really with us. But we experience Christmas when we reach out to one another. And not only will their heart grow three sizes, I believe ours will grow three sizes. And my prayer and my hope is that if you are alone, if loneliness is about to steal the joy of Christmas, don't let it. Because you are not alone. You have a gift. God Emmanuel, and you have the gift of one another. That's the good news of a great joy.
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't thought of before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.